You're listening to the best of Talkin' Sports with Byron, an on-demand audio presentation of RedPeachSports.com and ESPN977.com.
The new kid on the block. It's the new talk show from ESPN 97.7. It's Talkin' Sports, brought to you by Anytime Fitness, Monroe, West Monroe, and Calhoun, and Anytime Fitness in Ruston and Texarkana. Now, here's your host for Talkin' Sports, Byron Avery.
Thunder, baby, bringing it to you every week live from the Coldwell Banker Group 1 Studios. Coldwell Banker Group 1 Realty Studio in West Monroe. This is Talkin' Sports live with B.
Andy.
Byron Avery and DJ Davis, your host for Talkin' Sports. And as always, running the controls at the HQ, Mr. John Tabor.
Tabor, good afternoon, sir.
Well, we've got a fun afternoon for you. We're going to talk a little high school soccer. Going to talk a little bit of everything.
It's a lot going on to talk about.
A lot. We're not going to get political. We are going to mention some things, but we are not going to get political. But we're going to talk about Best of the Delta. We're going to talk about some barbecue.
That's always good. Yeah, it's always good to talk about some barbecue.
Now, if I talk about barbecue, it may just be what I'm having for dinner, but we're going to talk about it.
Let's talk about it.
We're also... And if I could just keep that one thing in front of me. We're going to talk with our own DJ Davis, and we're going to find out what's up.
What's up?
We're going to figure out what he's been up to. We're also going to have our old FOP, friend of the program, Sean Williams, on to make a big announcement that he's got about something he's got coming up. So we'll have that to close the program. And... DJ, did you get your essence on last weekend?
Oh, did we? Man, it was a great weekend. Great weekend. But it feels like I've been gone from the studio almost, it seemed like 2 weeks instead of just one Saturday. I mean, we've had so much fun in the studio. It's when I do miss, I really do miss being in here, man. So I'm glad to be back and ready to work.
Absolutely. It is summertime. We can tell that by the heat. We can also tell that by the lack of sporting events locally.
Yeah,
there's a lot going on, and I want people to know to reach out to us. We're not just here for the school sanctioned events. If you've got an event going on, such as our guests that are going to be in the studio here right in a little bit to talk about a softball tournament. We mentioned it last week briefly, softball tournament for the West Monroe High School soccer team. If you've got an event like that, you got a golf tournament coming up, please let us know. You can reach out to us during the show on the Car King Hotline and Pulpwood Producers text line, which is 888-993-7762. When we're not on the air, you can always hit us up at the Glassworks of West Monroe Twitter feed, at tsports977fm. Send us an email to the Riverport Creative Group email inbox, tsports977fm@gmail.com. Post something on our Facebook page, the Assurance Financial Facebook page, facebook.com/talkingsports977fm, or just call DJ at BR549.
Call me. Hey, we got a lot of things, too, man. You know, summertime, a lot of football camps. I know, and I don't have the specific dates. I know Ruben Randall is hosting one. Monroe legend Pat Williams, he's hosting one. So, I mean, even if you got football camps and some things for the youth, get in contact with us. We'll be glad to promote it for you, and we'll make sure it gets out.
Right, and you know, hey, look, there's even the option of us coming out on a Saturday and doing the show live from whatever event you're having. And you know, we've got some giveaways. We've I've had some posters pictured on our Facebook page for a while now, trying to build up a little interest. We'll do giveaways for those when we're on location. So someone can come by and pick them up while we're on the air. DJ, I even have a few books here I'm going to post on the website.
What you got?
I got Coach Wooden, book about Coach John Wooden, the Wizard of Westwood.
That's a good one.
Tony Dungy writes, Coach Wooden didn't just teach basketball, he taught life. It's by Pat Williams with Jim Denny, and the forward, of course, by Tony Dungy.
Oh, yeah.
I've got Holy Cow. Tabor, I might just have to drop this one off with you first. Harry Carey's book.
Oh, yeah, Tabor won't that one. He probably
I'll tell you what, if you bring it by the studio here in Ruston, I can guarantee you 100% it will be read.
Well, that you can count on that. And after you read it, then we'll give it away.
That sounds like a deal.
So, all right, so this is a book. I'm going to tell you a good place to pick up some books, a good place to pick up several things is over at the Rolling Hills Ministries unit. It's kind of like a Goodwill.
Right.
But they've got everything, and it's just amazing what you can find in there. And they got books for 50 cents. I've even got Colin Cowherd's book, Raw. His 100% grade A unfiltered inside look at sports. So
those are some giveaways.
Some giveaways. Like I said, we'll do our giveaways. Like I said, when we're on location somewhere, so someone can go, can just come by and pick those up. We're going to go right now to that Car King hotline and talk with Mr. Zach Green. And he's going to tell us what's going on over there today. Zach, how are you feeling today?
He didn't have to replace the
Zach might be selling a car.
He might be selling a car right now. Maybe we can listen in and get a price.
All right, here we go, guys.
All right, Zach, you there? Okay. All right, but we'll have to try Zach back, or maybe he'll chime in a minute, but like I said, we've got now five, but we'll call it four giveaways because we're going to wait till John Tabor reads Holy Cow, and then we'll get that back up. There's lots of Cubs fans out there, so a lot of people would like to read that book, and we'll re-gift. How about that? Go to our website. Go to our Facebook page, I should say. Check out the posters. The books will be on there today. And see which one you want. When we're on location somewhere, listen in, and we'll be giving those away. And it sounds like we may have Zach now. Zach, you there?
I'm here.
Hey, bud. We thought maybe we caught you in the middle of selling a car. We're good.
No, we're good.
All right. Sounds good. Well, what's going on over there today? I know, once again, the weather's hot, so tell us what's hot on the lot.
Absolutely. What we have is hot on the lot today since everybody's getting ready to go on vacations and spend a little bit of that hard-earned money. I have a 2012 Chevrolet Tahoe LT, black in color, black leather, 20-inch chrome wheels, DVD. That vehicle is going to go for $25,995. Also have a 2011 King Ranch Expedition XL. That's the long one. Got DVD in the headrest, power seat, sunroof. That vehicle is $23,995. Also have a 2014 Nissan Pathfinder SV, third row seat, 40,000 miles. That vehicle is $21,995. And that's what's hot on the lot.
Now that is some hot stuff. I'll tell you what I'm looking for, Zach. Maybe you can help me out. I'm looking for like an F-150 or a Silverado four-door, less than 50,000 miles, great air conditioner for about $2,000. So keep your eyes open for me on that.
I don't know if I can buy the air conditioner for that, but I'm
going to
try.
Well, that's everybody's dream vehicle, the best car
that's
out there for free, basically. Well, look, I appreciate you coming on and telling us what's hot on the lot. As always, we'll see you next week. But before you go, give us the address, phone number, and website.
Absolutely. We're at 12 Louisville Avenue, Monroe, Louisiana. Also, you can check us out on carkingmonroe.com or give us a call at 318-330-9285.
Absolutely. Will do. Thank you, Zach. Have a good rest of the weekend.
Thanks, guys. You too.
All right. Well, that was Zach Green on the Car King Hotline. You, too, can join us on the Car King Hotline and join the program. 888-993-7762. That is also the Pulpwood Producers text line. And had a couple of texts last weekend and didn't realize it till after the show was over. But that's okay. Just keep sending them in, and we'll get them read. A lot going on, DJ.
A lot going on.
Let's try to be non-political with this. But I'm gonna Two Dudes Catering was here. Chris Brown was here one weekend when you
right,
were out.
Right.
And we talked about the things they won't discuss on their podcast, and one of them was anything with Lives Matter, and yes. That's because all lives matter.
Correct.
I'm getting tired of this stupidity. You know, it's people. They're people, okay? God made everyone, and who am I to say God made somebody who wasn't any good just because they're different from me?
Right.
So, you and I are different.
Very different.
Does that mean we have to agree on everything?
Oh, no.
If I don't agree with you, do you hate me?
No.
All right.
Because I value your opinion. I value your feelings.
Well, and go read everybody should go read John Tabor's post on Facebook. John, I agree with you 100%. The stupidity has to stop. I just got to say this. God's coming soon. Got to be.
Hey, it's a lot.
He can't be watching this and saying, oh, let's let this go on for a while.
For a little while. And I think, you know, we know we're talking sports, and that's the name of our show. And I think that with everything going on, it reminds me of how, for me, athletics, this didn't matter. And when we were in football and we were on teams, everything that's going on outside of what we were doing in the locker room and on the field, it wasn't like this. And that's what I like about sports. Because, I mean, it was a commonality. We had something that we all were fighting for. So we looked over, you know, socioeconomic differences. We looked over racial differences, because look, you know what, we want to do one thing, and that's beat the crap out of you, you know. And so if we'll look over that, because we all want to win.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think if more people, you know, looked at it like that, is how can we come together? What is it we need to do to win? And then a lot of this other stuff, you know, like you say, the differences and the stress and stuff that's going on, we will see a lot less of it if everybody focused on that.
Well, because
it's crazy.
And I have to look at it this way. I have to look at it that DJ's, well, just in case you didn't know, DJ's black. he's a black guy.
Yeah, I am.
Been
black for about, finna be 40 years.
Bro. Okay. I was going to ask how long you've been a black guy. But
I answered that for you.
The fact that I got to believe that DJ's okay, he's an okay guy, and he's okay to get along with, I have to believe that, because if I don't believe that, then what can I believe about me?
Yeah.
Because we're both created by the same person,
yeah.
Same being. So anyway, that's done.
And that's what I've been telling people the last couple of days. You know, and everybody want to say this, who matter, black, white, all. Look, Byron, you matter because I matter. And that's it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a hashtag. If anybody want to hashtag that, mm-hmm. you can hashtag that. You matter because I matter.
All right, we're going to take our first break on that note, and that's going to be the end of our politics. We're going to politic for something in a minute, but that'll be the end of our politics, as you know it.
So tenfold.
We're going to take that first break. We are presented by DBAT of Monroe. DBAT for all your baseball and softball training needs, dbatmonroe.com. This hour presented by Gina Eubanks Allstate Insurance, Gina Eubanks agency owner since 1995. You're listening to Talkin' Sports
on ESPN 97.7.
Man, welcome back to the program, Talking Sports on ESPN 97.7 FM. It's you and me.
And D.
I'm B. Byron Avery and DJ Davis, your host for Talking Sports. And we're going to go to an old friend on the phone right now, Mr. Brett Hudson of the New Star. We're going to talk to him about the series he's doing on leading up to high school football, the start of high school football. Brett, welcome back to the show.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me on.
All right. Tell us a little bit about this series you've got going, where we are now, and who we need to be looking at for the upcoming high school football season.
Yeah, I've been doing a series on thenewstar.com. It was a 99-day countdown to football every day. It has been a blog post starting with 99 days away from the football season. I think it started back in late May. Been carrying through every day, looking at the number involved. So when we were 99 days away from high school football, we looked at the number 99 and what that meant last year and what it meant for this year. Obviously, when you speak about number 99, Neville Trashard Lawrence is the first one that comes to mind. So we definitely hit on him and that day. It's been along that vein every day for the countdown, and we'll stay that way for the rest of the countdown. I think today we're 55 days away. I could be wrong, but I'm pretty sure it's 55. So we'll keep doing it every day until kickoff. It took me forever to get all those numbers together, but it seems to be catching on with the readership, so I'll take it.
All right, so not only are we doing a countdown, so 55 means 55 days, but each day the number has a special meaning or a specific meaning as well, correct?
Yeah, jersey numbers, statistics, for example, in today's number 55 post, I believe I noted that Weston Rose kicker last year, Ian Alexander, made 55 extra points, something like that, plus there are a few 55 offensive linemen that wore number 55 last year that are either coming back that we need to watch out for, or some that have graduated that will have to be replaced, things like that. It's been in along that theme and every post so far, and it'll continue that way for another 50-something days.
Okay. Well, give me a couple of players so far that you highlighted, be it by statistic or jersey number, that we should look out for this year.
Yeah, well, I remember a note not that long ago in the countdown. All three of Neville's quarterbacks last year had at least a 60% completion percentage, which is just incredible to me, especially when you're remembering that one of those was a sophomore, Peyton Badford, in his first year up at varsity. So that was a way to show you that the Neville quarterback position is obviously one to watch, especially with Jaden Cole manning that spot there. Just in today's paper, actually caught up with Wausau's quarterback De'Veon Warren after his commitment to Arkansas back in April. He's obviously one to watch. He might be one of very few weapons on that Wausau offense. They lose basically everything on the perimeter around him. They lose their best running backs and their best wide receivers from last year, so it appears that Wausau's offense is going to go as far as De'Veon Warren can take it. And, you know, I would make the case that this is the year of the quarterback locally, to foreshadow at the theme of our preview magazine coming out when we get closer to kickoff. I mean, just look at the quarterbacks around that are either coming back or the ones we lost. Look at the ones we lost. Weston Rose, the one that went to Louisiana Tech. I'm blanking on his name right now.
John Randall.
Thank you. John Randall Belton. John Randall Belton's no longer in the high school game. Look at Rustin. Cade Gibson's no longer there. Union Parish. Chase Battafour is no longer there. But we also returned so many good ones, including De'Veon Warren at Wausau, including Jaden Cole at Neville. So really, I think it's the year of the quarterback around here. So whoever is that quarterback and at your school that you pay attention to is the man to watch.
Okay, so the story may be who is or who isn't at quarterback. So if your team's strong, well, let's not put it that way. Returning quarterbacks that we know about, we feel good about, but there are some schools, it seems like, that their quarterback is the question mark. Is that what we're saying?
Yeah, I think the best way to put it would be that it, almost every school locally, quarterback is a storyline. Whether it be you've got a kid coming back that's incredible, that is probably going to be expected to take a next step of some sort, if not put a team on his back in certain cases, or you're losing a quarterback that was so good for so long that it becomes a storyline that way. You have to replace what he did for your program. Unions chased out of four, which I mentioned earlier. At Mangum, Kyle Bearfield. I don't know how you replace what he did for the Dragons for the last two, three seasons. To stay in 2-2A, Devin Murphy is gone. You have to replace him. But also in that district, Grant Fitzhugh at Wachita Christian, he comes back after, I believe he leads returning starting quarterbacks in our area and passing yardage from last year. So I think that's what I'm trying to get at, is that quarterback is a storyline at pretty much every location in the area this year in some way, shape, or form. And I don't think that happens every year. It's not rare, but it doesn't happen every year where quarterback is a big story everywhere you go.
Right. Okay, so let's look at West Monroe real quick. You know, John Randall Bell was hurt last year, so he didn't really get to play a lot. Who do you look for to step up and be the quarterback out of those guys that had to fill in?
Well, it was obviously incredibly unfortunate for John Randall, his high school career, to end in that fashion. But in a way, it was good for West Monroe to get Robert Scott Bow even more time under center. And in that offense, he's going to be one that expected to take that next step. But at the same time, we know how West Monroe loves to use Slade Bolden in as many different ways as they possibly can, quarterback included. When you've got an athlete of that caliber, you move him all over the field knowing you're going to create a matchup problem wherever you put him. So you might as well make it more difficult for a defense scheme by making them find him first before figure out what you're doing with a matchup problem. So I'd say it's going to be some combination of those two, Robert Scott Faust and Slade Bolden. Exactly how the snaps are split and how they go about calling plays with either one of them under center, so to speak, that would be up to offensive coordinator Glenn Hunt, who seems to have a pretty good master plan going into this season. I was able to talk to him earlier this summer, and I think he's got the smart to know that it's a game by game thing. I think he's willing and able to change that up week by week depending on matchups and personnel that the opposing defense has. And I think both Robert Scott and Slade are willing to fit whatever mold Coach Hunt puts out there for the week in order to help the team win.
And I think Robert Scott's a senior this year, correct? And then if
that's
Slade,
correct.
Slade will be a junior.
Yep, that's correct.
Yep.
All right, so that's what they're looking at West Monroe. Give us a couple of teams, or give us one team at each level who we need to pay close attention to.
You mean you need classification?
Yes.
5A, Ruston, especially defensively, is going to be fascinating because they return almost everything in the front seven. They might have the best returning front seven in that district, which is saying something given what West Monroe returns and TCU defensive line commit Dennis Collins. They still might have the most talent returning in their front seven. Now they lose a ton on offense. They lose 90% of their production across the board from last year in terms of yards and scoring. So Ruston is going to be fascinating. They're probably going to have to try to build this team to win games 14-10, 17-14, something like that. That offense could come out surprises, and they could be a championship contender. But that will be my guess, and I'm interested to see that develop over the course of the season. And 4A Bastrop is fascinating, given everything they lose on the offensive side, and that was their obvious focal point last year, with how they were able to score at will on just about everybody. So Bastrop would be the team to look at in 4A. In 3A, I want to see Wasserman without Cam Lewis. He was obviously a huge motor for that team last year. I think they have the talent to continue playing at a high level. It's just a matter of who is going to step up, who's going to actually get the ball into the end zone as Cam did last year. Those other guys helped. They came up with 5-yard runs on second down that helped move the chains consistently, but they weren't always the ones getting into the end zone. You got to score points to win. Somebody's got to do that for Wasserman this year. In 2A, let's be honest, all of them
right? I mean, they're all so good. Wachita Christian, if not for their ridiculous Division III draw, they'd be one of the best teams in their classification in the state. Mangum was a state runner-up last year. Rabel got to the semifinals last year, and Sterlington was a quarterfinal. I mean, they're all among the top at that classification in 2A. And in 1A, Oak Grove, right? With everything right. they've done over the last few years, they're obviously a program. You don't really read too much into what they lose because you know they've got the kids coming up to replace it. But they do have to replace Jackson Wiley, a quarterback. They do have to replace Jalen Hole. Now, having Sam Philly coming back is a great starting point for a run-based offense. But they're the ones to watch because it's not if, but when the next man up show themselves in Oak Grove.
Yeah, and Oak Grove's been doing this for so many years. Those are some of the ones we need to look for in our 75 high school championships that we'll have down there. So, but we won't go into that again right now, Brett.
Yeah.
All right, well, look, I appreciate you coming on the show. As always, let us know how we can follow your blogs about the countdown and everything else you're in.
Everything's on vnewstar.com. The countdown posts go on vnewstar.com. I try to get them up in the morning. Sometimes I swing and miss, but I try to get them up in the morning. So every day there is something high school football on vnewstar.com. Thanks to this countdown, a lot more non-countdown coverage coming once we get closer to the season and we get to season preview time.
All right. Have a good rest of your weekend. Thanks.
All right, thanks for having me on, guys.
All right, guys. All right, well, we're going to come back. When we get back, we'll talk a little West Monroe High School soccer. But you're listening to Talkin' Sports.
ESPN 97.7.
Welcome back to the program. Talking Sports, ESPN 97.7 FM, Byron Avery, DJ Davis, your hosts, every Saturday noon to 2. Hit us up on the Pulpwood Producers text line and the Car King hotline, 888-993-7762. You think I'd never said that before. Hit us up on our Twitter feed, at T Sports 977 FM, the Glassworks of West Monroe Twitter feed. We're joined now by West Monroe High School soccer coach Roger Whitlock. Coach, thanks for joining the program.
Glad to be here.
And one of your biggest supporters, former Ruston High superstar Donnie Altman.
Not that again.
Coach, I just don't know if you are familiar with Donnie's exploits at Ruston High School. But if you're not, you're not the only one.
Well,
I don't know who the other one is.
That's deep in the history.
If you hear how good Altman was, that first name's probably Shannon.
Yeah, exactly.
But Coach, again, thanks for coming on. I'll get you and Donnie on here. We're going to talk about the little fundraiser coming up. But first, tell me what's going on with Donnie's on the phone with me or sitting in front of me. I always want to say Ruston High, but tell me what's going on with West Monroe soccer right now.
Well, you know, right now this summer we're, kind of in our mid-summer season, I guess you could say, as far as being in the weight room and conditioning and things like that. And, the guys are working out 3 days a week and going for about 2 hours a day on those days. And they've been doing a great job. There's been consistent accountability, consistent attendance. And it's just they've been – When I challenged them at the end of last year to get to where they want to get for next year, they've shown up, and this summer has been a great thing. And on Sundays we've got a 7-versus-7 tournament or season that we're doing on Sunday afternoons. And Nick Ortiz from Warsaw was awesome enough to actually get that put together for us. And we have it out at Nelta at Chenault Park, and kind of lets us see where the pitch. Our pieces fit and see the new guys coming in and see where they may fit. So we've been, getting after pretty good this summer, and I'm liking what I'm seeing.
you know, my daughter plays tennis for West Monroe, so I'm over there dropping her off or picking her up several days a week. And I seems to me I see a lot of soccer guys laying on the grass. Are you working them to death?
Well, we try to push their limit, let's say that.
There you go. Yeah, soccer is it's not really a spectator. You don't, there's not a lot of sitting around watching the other guy.
No, it's constant movement, and that's what I've loved about coming over to this sport since I've been over here. It's a totally different atmosphere, you know, totally different culture. But the pace of the game, you have to stay attentive, you have to stay alert. You can't just go into lulls where, you know, for two or three innings in a baseball game, you may never touch a ball. You know, but in a soccer match, you're having to cover for somebody, or you're having to get in this position, or, you know, try to receive this ball, or anything can happen. It's kind of a free-flowing game, if you will.
I worked at the University of South Alabama at one point, and my first day on the job there was the Sun Belt Conference men's soccer tournament. And I'm going to tell you, I saw a lot of blood, a lot of sweat, and didn't hear much English. But I'm going to tell you, that was my indoctrination into soccer, and that made me more of a fan than I've ever been. But, you know, at least I can look at soccer and understand it a little bit and know what those guys go through. So, and again, I know we're talking about a different level here, but just the work that these guys have to put in, and you out there with them, talk about the conditioning, and, you know, especially using this, you know, summers in Louisiana aren't the easiest thing to deal with.
No, they're not. We try to get them out there from about 7 to 9 in the morning, on Friday, just 8 to 10, trying to get them out of the intense heat. You know, work, you know, smart, not hard kind of thing as far as that goes. I mean, you can get the same amount of work in, and you don't have to kind of feed in that old adage of it's got to be in the heat, harder, you know, hottest part of the day, and you don't give them water. You know, you got to be smart with their bodies. You got to be smart with what they're doing, you know, because the bodies have physical limitations. But so when you get them out there, you just try to get them in as many game-type atmosphere, you know, game-type situations as possible with the conditioning and with the lifts that we try to do, and try to replicate positive reinforcement on how to do certain things and how to get their body into certain places, and, you know, and just constant repetition on the ball, off the ball, you know, things like that. But, you know, I've tried to start talking about Clyde. It's Brian Kane. He's a kind of a sports psychologist, and he talks about taking personal responsibility in daily excellence. And that's what I've tried to get them to do in every lift or every exercise or anything that they've done this summer, is take pride in that one thing, and it kind of bleeds over. So, you know, like I said, they've given me everything they've had this summer, and I've really appreciated their work ethic.
Okay. Well, I'm going to pull Donnie in here now. So let's talk about the fundraiser you guys have coming up. Donnie talked a little bit about it last week, how it's, you know, it's a fundraiser for soccer, but it's not soccer. So we've got a softball tournament coming up. Tell us how this got started, Coach.
Well, to be honest, I was just looking through some stuff, and you know, this is my second year of soccer. I've never, you know, been around the sport before, and I've been pleasantly surprised with how much I've kind of gravitated to it. But I was just thinking how this is going to happen. What are we going to do for a fundraiser for the summer? And it's getting to the end of the summer, and we've got to do something. And because I just want to keep them constantly involved in something. And I just said, well, why not a softball tournament? You know, it's extremely easy to put it together. Everybody loves slow pitch softball. You know, it's a one-day thing. But, you know, let's see if we can put one together. And the parents have been awesome so far about trying to get it, you know, to go off without a hit.
Okay. Donnie, what are we looking at so far? Have we got any teams signed up yet? I know we've got a limit, so.
Yeah, we're looking at 12 teams as the max we can take. Coach Whitlock, I think we talked the other day, we had probably two or three confirmed. We're still working on, you know, Coach Whitlock, I don't know if you've got any more, but, you know, we're maybe around that 5-6 range right now.
Right, we're up to five.
Up to five. So, you know, we're still about 2 weeks out. With putting on other tournaments, we people tend to sign up later, and but we're looking for those teams right now if we can, you know, just so we can see how many, you know, get it filled up, and so we can just kind of start scheduling and getting all the details worked out.
Okay, and the date?
Okay, so I'll give you a little bit of details. It's July 23rd. That's a Saturday, about 2 weeks from today. We're looking at starting that morning, probably early that morning. We're looking at a three-game guarantee. The cost is $200 for the team, and if we get the 12 teams, or we're looking at a $500 first prize for the winner of the tournament. We're going to have concessions. I think we said we're guaranteed three games per team. We're going to have a home run derby, and if whoever wants to enter that, that's $10 a person. And we're basically doing that like a split the pot. So however many people enter, you got the pot, and then the winner gets half the pot. We're also having a thing called a home run ban. If anybody on the team wants to buy it, usually you may only get two home runs for a team or whatever the rule is. But if your guy's got a band on, he hits the third home run, you still get that home run. Coach Whitlock, I think I got that right or close enough. So we're going to have concessions.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be out at Brady Fields right here on Whites Ferry Road.
You know, it sounds like an opportunity to have our show on site somewhere.
Good idea.
Yeah, so we'll talk about that off the air. But, Coach, what are we looking at as far as the season? When's the first match? When do you get on the pitch? Who are we looking at, you know, favorite in district? Give me a little bit of insight here.
Well, when I went into doing the schedule during the spring, I wanted to get a bunch of difficult competition. I didn't want to go in and say, well, let's just get into the playoffs, because now in soccer, only the top 24 teams get in. It's no longer 32 or anything like that. So the PowerPoint system is an extremely difficult thing to understand in soccer. You know, sometimes if you lose, you get more points. More than win, or getting a tie is a totally different thing than getting lost. But so that went into it as far as the factors that you know, who I called and all that. But our first match, our first practice, our official practice is the last part of October. I think October 26th. Our first real match will be over in the airline tournament. Tioga will come to us at Rebel Stadium. I want to say, mid part of November, I think November 16th, somewhere around there, and then we're going to the airline tournament that weekend. But we play powerhouses all year. We play Neville, who is extremely good in Division II, Catholic Baton Rouge, St. Thomas Moore, who won Division II last year. Ruston, Washita, they're really good in Division II. I'm trying to think of who else we. Pomble is also really good. Sterling's Catholic. We have an extremely difficult schedule, and that's what this summer is trying to get them in shape for and mentally ready for.
Okay. Now, let me ask this question, because I can never let this go. Is soccer split into select and non-select like the other ridiculousness?
No.
Okay.
No, everybody's in. It's a little bit different in the fact that it looks like the select side, as far as there's only four divisions and things like that. It's not like 1A, 2A, 3A, 4A, 5A. It's not like that, because there's not as many participating schools as there are in football and basketball and baseball, or even track. So it's condensed down quite a bit, especially up in the northern part of Louisiana. A lot of teams down south have soccer programs, but a lot of the small schools in North Louisiana do not have soccer programs. So, for instance, you know, our district is West Monroe, Pomville, Methodist Central, Caddo Magnet, Caroline. Let's see, who else? Who's the one that won it this year? I cannot think of it right off the top of my head. Bird, you know, so it spans quite a large area, and that's the only large district in this area. Weston and the Washtenaw in Division II, along with Neville.
Okay. Well, Coach, I appreciate you coming on the program. We're going to keep Donnie around a little bit, talk a little football with him. But once more, the softball tournament to support West Monroe High School soccer is going to be July the 23rd. And we'll get you guys on again probably next week to talk about it again. We'll see where we are. But good luck with that and with the season.
Yes, sir. I appreciate your time.
All right. Have a good rest of your weekend. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll talk some more with Donnie Altman on a wiffle ball tournament coming up and maybe some Big 12 football. You're listening to Talkin' Sports on ESPN 97.7 FM.
Carry on my wayward son. There'll be peace when you are done. Lay your weary head to rest. Don't you cry no more.
There's no crying in baseball. Welcome back to the program, Talkin' Sports, ESPN 97.7 FM. Byron Avery and DJ Davis, your host. We're going to spend a little bit more time with Donnie Altman. Donnie, former Ruston High grad. No, you're still a Ruston High grad, not a former grad. Okay, so Ruston High grad. He is also a Big 12 football official. We were talking off air, Donnie. You already know at least your first five dates. Talk to us a little bit about that. Where are you going to be those first 5 weeks? What games? And kind of just a little bit of how you got into this.
Okay. Concerning my schedule, I'm working four out of the first 5 weeks, and I have a personal conflict with one of those weeks, so I had to take that week off. But I open up with Houston and Oklahoma down in Houston where the Houston Texans play. The third week of the season, I go TCU and Iowa State at TCU. Then the fourth week, I have Boise State at Oregon State. And then the fifth week, we have Kansas State at West Virginia. So it's, open up with a bang and keep going after that.
Absolutely. You started out as a high school official, is that correct?
That's correct. Yeah, basically, when I graduated from Louisiana Tech, I went into the finance area, went to work for CenturyLink, but it was a case where I wanted to stay in athletics, doing something. Actually, my first choice was going to be baseball, but with my schedule at work, and back then, 20 years ago, they weren't playing a lot of night games in baseball. It was mainly afternoon games. So then there was an actual coworker of mine that I went and talked to. He was a high school official, and basically from there started working your junior high JV games. And back in 1995 is when I started.
And we're not talking about Trey, are we?
No.
Okay. All right.
Trey's fairly recent. Actually, it was Robin Cipelli, and Unfortunately, he's passed away now. But he really carried me those first several years, and I got involved with some guys, and they really carried me, worked my way along the system, I guess to say, and had a good run at it so far.
And then you were a Sun Belt official for a while,
right? Back in see if I get all these dates right. Back in 2004, basically when I was trying to get to the next level, as we say, you started working college scrimmages, college practices. And finally broke into the college level in 2004 in the Southland Conference, which is the 1AA, as I still call it. Then I got my chance at the Sun Belt in 2007, and then I broke into Big 12 Mountain West in 2010.
Okay. All right. So how many years have you been doing bowl games?
I have had bowl games since 2010. When I got into Big 12, I've been fortunate enough to have one each year. So I've had however many years that is, and I guess that's 6 years now.
That's cool. So you told me a little while ago off the air about another tournament coming up, something I did a lot in college. And when I was working at Tech, we actually played wiffle ball
right
in the Thomas Assembly Center. You'd pitch. You'd be at the half-court line, pitch from one side to the other, and that wiffle ball is so much fun. So tell us a little bit about what's going on with that.
Okay, what 4 years ago, this was something that came up, and actually my son Reese was going on his first mission trip and needed to raise some money. So it's just, you know, he loved playing it just like we all did when we were kids. A lot of us did when we were kids. And I said, hey, won't we try to put a tournament together? And that first year, I think we had maybe 18 teams. And we've just continued on since then. We do charge a fee, but the fee goes to charity. We don't keep the money and or mission trips that we may go on. It's really grown every year. It's really fun to watch. We've got some teams that go all out. Most teams now that they kind of know the process and seen other teams, this will be our fourth year to do it. You know, we have people asking us about it, you know, back as soon as the new year turns around in January, hey, you're going to have that tournament. So we're planning right now. It's August 13th, and it's really a lot of fun. We have four-person teams. We basically play a pool play in the morning. I think we guarantee three games in the morning, and then we go into what we call a bracket play in the afternoon. So basically we start at 8:30 in the morning, and we usually go to about 5 o'clock in the afternoon. And it's a lot of fun. Last year we had 27 teams, of four-person teams. And, you know how kids get. They get competitive. But I tell you, they do a great job because we don't have umpires. Now, every now and then we have to step into a few things. But, you know, the kids get out there and just play. And, you know, they get out there, they have a lot of fun. And we raise a little bit of money for charity.
And what's the age limits, are there different classifications?
Well, we last year was, I guess, unique in that we had three divisions. And basically we separated elementary, middle school, and high school. And that's just kind of how it fell out, that we were able to create those three age divisions. But really what we look at is we try to make it where we think it's going to be competitive. In the prior years, we had two divisions. But last year we were able to create three because we had enough in elementary, we had enough in middle, and we had enough in high school. And that way it just really worked out because, you know, you're basically competing with the same age. So if we had one team of parents or two dads and two kids, the kids were in elementary, the dads, you know, were older, so we just stuck them in the middle school age group. So we try to make it competitive, and, you know, just so someone won't be just killing somebody else.
Have you had any all adult teams trying to get in?
Actually the very first year we had a group of college kids come in. They were, you know, probably anywhere between 19 to 21, and they had a lot of fun. You know, the first year was something we didn't really know what we were getting into. We've learned a lot since then, but it's been fun every year.
Well, that's on a Saturday, I'm assuming.
Saturday, August 13th. Best thing to do if you're interested, we've got a little website, but you can get in contact with me at 318-366-5120. Just give me a call. We can get you set up. It's $40. Again, that's just to cover a little bit of expense we do have, just getting some of the fields ready. And another unique thing we have, we call them strike zones. And I don't know if you've ever seen it. Look up a wiffle ball strike zone. We build them. If it hits the strike zone, it's a strike. We start with a 0-1 count, and, you know, you get three outs. Everything else is just like baseball. We keep the fence close enough. We have it at Beatonhorn. We keep the fence. We use the outfield fence, and we create about six fields. And we keep it close enough to where they can hit home runs, but hopefully far enough so not every time you hit a little pop-up, it's a home run.
Yeah, we when we played, especially in the Thomas Assembly Center, we had a chair back there where the catcher would be sitting, and you had to protect that chair. So if the pitcher hit that chair without you touching the ball, it was an out.
All right.
So if you swung and missed completely and hit the chair, it's an out. Or if you didn't swing at all and it hits that chair anywhere except on a bounce, you know, that's an out. And, man, I'm going to tell you what, we would play for hours.
Yeah, and the first year we did it, we raised money off the strike zones because I had so many parents come up to me and said, that's the best idea ever, because they say in the backyard, that's the biggest arguments. What's a strike? What's not a strike?
Yep.
So that takes it out.
Well, it sounds like another opportunity for us to have an on-site deal. I think we may can work some stuff in, and we might can get some national coverage on this, Donnie. So we'll talk about that more off the air. And remind me, I said it last week when you were on the phone with us, but remind me to tell you how you can use the show as a fundraiser also.
Right. Okay.
All right. Thanks, Byron. We're going to take another break. We appreciate Donnie Altman coming in the studio. And we're going to come back and talk some more sports right after these messages here on ESPN 97.7 FM. Welcome back to the program. I'm B.
And D.
Byron Avery and DJ Davis, your hosts for Talking Sports here on ESPN 97.7. You want to get in on the discussion? Join us on the Pulpwood Producers text line or the Car King hotline, 888-993-7762 for both. Hit us up on Twitter, the Glassworks of West Monroe Twitter feed, at TSports977FM. Comment on our Facebook page, the Assurance Financial Facebook page, facebook.com/TalkinSports977FM. Want to thank Donnie Altman for coming in. A lot of interesting stuff there, DJ.
Oh, yeah.
Big 12 official, big wiffle ball tournament coming up.
Softball tournament.
Those are the kind of things we want to hear about. Real quick, in this segment, let's just talk a little bit about what's going on. You know, lately we've had the hiring of a new baseball coach at Tech.
Right.
As we've said before, at that level, success breeds absence. So we lose Greg Goff. Tech loses Greg Goff to Alabama and to bring in Lane Burrows. And we had a little discussion about money and how Tech was able to throw money at Greg Goff. When Alabama first offered him $300, Tech matched it.
Yeah.
And then Alabama upped it and Goff left. You know, and again, not a negative here. No blaming these guys. They got to follow their dreams and things like that you just can't turn down. So Lane Burrows comes in. And we were just kind of curious that now that Tech had thrown $300,000 at somebody, what were they going to bring the next guy? Because the next guy knows how much money you're throwing around. So credit to the news star. We did find that Burroughs' contract is $125,000 a year. So he has a salary pool of $130,000 as part of his new five-year contract. So five-year contract, $125,000 base salary, not too shabby for a baseball coach in Ruston, Louisiana.
Ruston, Louisiana.
All right, so he gets $75,000 from the university and $50,000 from the Louisiana Tech University Foundation. So somebody's digging in their pockets, and that's good.
It's making it work. I mean, that's what it's about. I mean, coaches. I mean, we work hard. I mean, you know, we work hard, and when you're able to negotiate those kind of contracts, man, it makes some of the hard work feel like it's worth it.
Right, and especially when your team has success.
Yeah.
You know, so Tech. You know, they were in the sports news a ton during the baseball season, beating ranked opponents.
Yep.
Going to the regionals, doing well in the conference tournament.
A lot of highlights.
Brings a lot of attention to your university. And that, it's worth the money.
Yeah.
It is.
Yeah.
You know, you don't want to pay somebody and nobody ever hear about you because you lose all the time. So you'll pay money for success. And Burroughs was successful where he was, and he's bringing success to Tech. And hopefully they'll continue that success. We also, from Sean Isabella of the New Star, have a list of people who applied for that Tech baseball vacancy. And that we'll run through that real quick. Matt Braga, head coach at Tennessee Tech. James Ferguson, assistant coach at Valdosta State, former pitcher for Tech.
Mm-hmm.
Craig Gibson, the head coach at Mercer, which is outside Atlanta. Jason Gonzalez, the head coach at Texas A&M Kingsville. John Harvey, head coach at Arkansas Monticello. Mike Kirby is the assistant coach at Nebraska. Turtle Thomas, former head coach at Florida International. Steven Trout, assistant coach at Texas State. And DJ Whitmore, head coach at Western Nevada College. So, interesting. It was a quick turnaround there.
Yeah,
so.
It was. And that's a nice mix of candidates, I mean, from different parts of the country. So, I mean, the fact that here locally we got that kind of attention from, throughout the nation, it says a lot about the program.
Right, and again, the quick turnaround probably limited the number of applicants you got, so definitely, like you said, a good mix. Thanks to Sean Isabella for that article in the New Star. We also, as I was reading that article, found a list of people who applied for the vacant, the suddenly vacant women's basketball coaching job at
Very vacant.
And, of course, they hired Brooks Thor, former Lady Texter, and she was the coach at Northwestern State at the time. Wonder who else they have over there that we can get since we got their women's basketball coach and their baseball coach now.
Yeah, I was going to say Northwestern looking at us sort of like, hey.
Well, but, you know, I think those are two good choices, though. I think Tommy McClellan, the AD at Tech, did his homework. He knew of these people, and he moved quickly, but it looks like he moved correctly also.
Yeah.
But I want to run through these names who applied for the Louisiana Tech women's basketball job. I mean, it is, you want to talk about a list of variety and
a plethora.
And what's the word I'm looking for? Diversity.
Yeah.
I mean, good grief. Jeremy Albany, boys and girls varsity basketball coach at Master East Academy in Miami.
Ooh.
Gary Andrews, head women's basketball coach at Roberts Wesleyan in New York. Ariel Baker, WNBA intern with the Chicago Sky. I thought I'd say Sty. Christopher Bell, assistant boys basketball coach at Niceville High School in Florida. Clarence Bell, assistant boys basketball coach at Denver South High School. Lynn Bria, head women's basketball coach at Stetson University in Florida.
Mm.
Man, I'll tell you what, I'd stay at Stetson. That's in Daytona Beach.
Oh, yeah, it'd be hard to leave Daytona.
Yeah, I've been to baseball games at Stetson before. It's awesome.
Beautiful.
That's where Chipper Jones, his dad was a baseball coach there. Frederick Brown, assistant boys coach and assistant football coach at Rickton High School in Mississippi. Fred Brown Jr., former high school basketball coach at Episcopal High School in Virginia. Casey Byford, freshman girls basketball coach, Mansfield Summit High School in Texas. Gary Cook, no information.
Hmm.
Charles Cruz, assistant girls basketball coach at Glenn High School in North Carolina. Kevin Crow, high school girls basketball coach, Harrington, Kansas. Chris DeLeo, former head coach, Rochester Razorhawks, Premier Basketball League. Mike Dooney, assistant girls basketball coach at Berry Hill High School. Don't know where that is. Barbara Ferris. I know that name. I think she played at – she was either Tulane or LSU, I believe. Head girls basketball coach at John Curtis. Taj McWilliams Franklin. I know that name as well. Head women's basketball coach at Post University. Shan Hart, former head women's basketball coach, UPUI and American University. Indiana University, Purdue University at Indiana.
Mm. That's a lot.
IUPUI.
A lot of letters.
Ooey pooey. Kylie Hill, head women's basketball coach at Valdosta State. So Valdosta could have lost two coaches there because their assistant baseball coach applied for the baseball position. Jerome Jackson, assistant women's basketball coach, Midway University in Kentucky. Bernita Jackson, assistant women's basketball coach at McNeese. Don E. Johnson, social worker. Former assistant basketball coach, Lake County College in Illinois. Ricky Johnson, former men's assistant basketball coach, Heston College in Kansas. Jeff Lissas, head boys basketball coach, Northridge High School in Dayton. Jeff McLeod, varsity girls basketball coach, Chisholm Catholic College, Queensland, Australia.
Oh.
Dustin Martini, owner, Imagine Enterprises,
mm.
California. Brandon McIntosh, head girls basketball coach, Genesee High School in Idaho. Janie Mitchell, assistant women's basketball coach, Kennesaw State in Georgia. Olena Ogorodonovikova. Olena Ogorodonovikova. Okay, former member of the Ukraine national basketball team. Oh, John Papasideris, assistant girls coach, Northbrook High School in Houston. Billy Perkins, athletic director and head girls basketball coach at Childress High School in Texas. I mean, Michael Phelps. Hey, why not?
What else you got going on? I mean, might
he's
as well.
He's a volunteer men's basketball coach at Cedarville University in Ohio. Gustavo Potence de Freitas. Gustavo Potence de Freitas, head men's basketball coach, Euro Pro Basket in Spain. I mean, Bethesda University, Kip Sunnyside in Houston, WNBA bench coach of the Chicago Sky, Air Force retiree, Northwestern State, that was Brooke, okay. Cincinnati, assistant women's coach at Cincinnati, head girls coach at Garden City High in Kansas, Northwestern Oklahoma State head coach, assistant coach at Alabama, assistant coach at Texas A&M, and a former player at UT Chattanooga. So we know that was a quick turnaround, too. Big PR hit for the Texter program with what went on, had to do something positive quickly, and look at how many applicants they got that quickly.
That was a laundry list of – I mean, that was global. That was a global laundry list of applicants and candidates. Imagine interviewing all those people in a short time frame.
Well, and again, it's good to have, you know, your program, the Lady Texture program is so well known.
Yes.
But that list is unbelievable because I believe that was less than a 2-week turnaround. I mean, maybe not from the first time the administration knew what was going to happen.
Right.
But from the time it was announced that what had happened in the time of the hiring, that was, I believe, less than 2 weeks. And that is quite a list.
Yeah.
I mean, you had a social worker, an Air Force retiree. Of course, they're going to have some basketball credentials.
A business owner. What was that? Something entertainment?
Yeah. So, you know, kudos to the tech administration for weeding through that list. But, of course, I'm sure that Tommy McClellan, just like in baseball, already had a short list in his head or on paper somewhere. You got to, as an AD, you got to have a short list for – you know, you got to have your bench built. You got to have some replacements ready, at least some ideas. So kudos to them for working that out. But we're going to take another break. When we come back, we'll visit with our own DJ Davis to find out what's up. You're listening to Talking Sports.
ESPN 97.7.
Welcome back to the program, Talking Sports on ESPN 97.7 FM. I'm B.
And I'm D.
B&D, Byron Avery and DJ Davis, your hosts. Every week, Saturdays, noon to 2, here on ESPN 97.7. So, it's time for our regular segment of What's Up. And we're going to, I decided today that we're just going to stay in-house with this because most people may not know about you, DJ. I had you on the show early in the show's history.
Yeah, a couple months back.
And talk to you a little bit about what you have going now. But let's find out about DJ, the youngster. So on today's segment of What's Up, we're talking with riser football coach DJ Davis. And tell us a little bit, DJ, about growing up, because you're from here.
Yes.
Went to middle school at Riser.
I sure did.
And played football at West Monroe. Had a special time there. Tell us a little bit about all that.
Yeah. Man, a lot of people who may not know, I grew up, you know, here in West Monroe by the paper mill, little neighborhood. We call it College Point. And went to Riser back. Matter of fact, we went to Riser. I was the first part of that first group that went to Riser. When they rezoned the area, because we were actually that side of Thomas Road, we were supposed to go to Richardson High, well, Richardson Middle School or Richardson Junior High. So I was part of that first group to get bussed over to Riser back in the late 80s, 88, 89. Played ball there and then had a chance to move forward to, you know, West Monroe High and play football there and, you know, power lifted with them. And a lot of people, you know, around here remembers that first championship team. We were on that first championship team my senior year. So we did well my sophomore year and my junior year. We made it to the playoffs and got eliminated in round one both times, but had a chance finally my senior year to go all the way and take it out.
Now, Shouse came in what year?
He was 89. So I was he was already there like 3 years before I got on the varsity program.
And I was talking with a friend of mine who played at West Monroe probably prior to that, just prior to that. He said when Shouse came in, he had that ring on his finger from Pineville.
Sure did.
And said, 4 years, guys. 4 years, we'll have one of these. And the guys laughed. and they did spent the rest of the practice doing wind sprints.
Yeah, yeah. He came in and you know, a lot of people, you know, love him or hate him. He came in with a blue collar mentality. Like, look, you know, it's us against everybody else. You know, and he came in. I can remember, you know, people coming to the games earlier, like, you know, 90, 91, that didn't even pay for the tickets. He was giving tickets away. But you think about where it started. Our locker room was the cafeteria of the old Millsaps Elementary.
I forgot about Millsaps.
Yeah, that was the locker room. You know, the converted cafeteria, and to now where you have a state of the art, you know, two story, you know, meeting rooms. Things have changed so dramatically over the past, say, 20 or so years, and it was all because of the things that he brought, or the ideology that he brought when he came from Northwestern and some of the past places he left.
All right, so you played at West Monroe.
Yep.
And had obviously a great experience there if you were part of the school's first national state championship.
Yes.
Tell me what that was like, that game and that season.
Well, it was amazing because, you know, we, you know, when we all came from, I can remember our freshman year in the summer, we came from Riser, and at the time it was only West Monroe Junior High. And I can remember that summer, you know, some of the likes of, you know, I can name, you know, Darren Moody, Josh Rogers. A lot of us was coming for the summer workouts, and we were just so excited to be in high school. And I can remember us talking about, you know, what it'd be like to be able to make it to the championship. We hadn't even started discussing even winning, but just making it there. And that was our freshman year. So when we got to the playoffs the sophomore year and then our junior year, well, then we started to thought, like, you know what, I think this can possibly happen. And so, friendships, long-term friendships, man, it's some of those guys I see now that literally would, you know, give you whatever they have if you needed it. And I was thinking about a conversation I had a couple of weeks ago with our one of the linemen from that era. He has a boy that's at the high school now, Aaron Ingram. And he's one of those guys that when I think about just that long-term bond, I think him and Lance Jackson went fishing last weekend. I mean, you know, so that experience brought us together because it was us against everybody else. I go around and speak a lot of times about, you know, the vision we had and how impactful us having that vision, because we were putting stuff in the locker room, you know, our junior and senior year. We cutting out the Superdome. We like cut it out and put it in our locker. So we were already seeing ourselves being in the Superdome our senior year, but it was 7 months before we even got there. And I tell a lot of people that our senior year, a lot of people didn't think that we were good enough. I mean, because we really, if you look back at that team and compare it to some of the teams that have come through West Monroe, man, we get slaughtered. I mean, just looking at matching us up apple for apple, we would get slaughtered because of size, strength, speed. And I joke around a lot of times and say that, you know, people told us we were not fast enough, we were not strong enough, and we didn't look good enough. I mean, we were like the ugliest team to come through the high school. But it wound up being, long story short, we did what we had to do. We lost two games that year, but we went to New Orleans in 93 and beat Destrehan. So, and it's history. I mean, literally part of history.
Yeah. So tell me about a few of the guys. Just name some of those names, quarterback, running back.
Oh, man, look, we had and I always, you know, since I've been at Riser, even when I first got there at the middle school, I would talk to a lot of the kids about the people that come through there. You know, we had a lot of great athletes, but, you know, when you have Bobby Breen. Bobby Breen was our starting quarterback who's coaching over at Sterlington now. He came from out of Riser. I mean, great athlete. Lance Jackson, who's a doctor now in Houston, went on to play at Southern, come from Riser. We had Larry Wright, who we had on a couple weeks ago. Now, he didn't come from Riser, but, you know, like I say, he was, you know, from this area, grew up here, and then had a chance to go play at Notre Dame and Tech and stuff like that. And so we had Tommy Banks, who came through. I mean, it's like I said, it's a laundry list of people who, like I said, we weren't the best looking when it came to just size and speed and look like athletes. But man, we worked hard, and it's credited to what Shiles wanted to do. And the first thing he did was he went and got one of the who obviously stood up to the challenge. He went out and got who he felt was the best strength and conditioning coach in the state, and that was Casey Sanders. And what he brought to the table, I mean, we didn't look like we were fast, we didn't look strong, but man, we would go get it. I'm telling you, we were some horses.
Casey Sanders, that was a rather large human.
Yes. I mean, he was very intimidating too. I mean, like, you know, back then, you know, a lot of back in the 90s, you know, you had those shorts that the coaches wear, bike shorts.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, his were like probably two sizes too small, so everything he had on looked small, and he was huge. You know, and he, you know, over the years as you get older, he slimmed up, but man, his ideal of how to get us stronger and get us faster is what helped us make it through the long haul. Because you think in high school, man, we went 15 weeks. I mean, that's a lot of football. I mean, that's in the season, not including preseason, 15 weeks. And what we were able to go through, minimum injuries, and it was all because of the strength and conditioning.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. Well, no, we're not. We're not going to take a break yet. I'm leaving off part. Okay, so after West Monroe, you go to NLU.
Yes,
and
yes.
And didn't start out. Wasn't the greatest start for you.
Oh, no. It actually, I knew when I left West Monroe, you know, I wanted to play football. And that's really was my motivation even. You know, my grades were decent, but my motivation to go to college is because I knew I wanted to play football because that's just how much I love the sport. So I decided to stay local. I did have a few opportunities to go, you know, outside of the state, but they were not offering what I felt like I should get to leave the state. So I say, well, you know what, I just take my chances. And I walked on over at ULM. My first semester there, I didn't play football at all. 94 said I just got all the stuff necessary in line, paperwork-wise, clearing house. And I went out in the spring of 95 and walked on. And within that year, was offered a scholarship. And so, from that point, and I led it all 4 years. I was there, you know, either through special teams or actually, you know, starting and getting reps, man. And that was a totally different experience. Once again, we had Alan Ricard on a couple weeks back, and relationships, man. And that's what I like about athletics. And I mentioned it earlier, you know, just the bonds we build with people from everywhere, no matter what your color was, no matter what, you know, it was some people on teams that come from, I mean, you thought you had it bad, but once you realize, man, here's a teammate that literally is like in the slums. But that didn't matter. I mean, it didn't matter. It was the fact that, look, we are together. We've built these relationships, bonds, and here it is. I mean, I stopped playing ball at ULM in 98, and here it is almost, you know, 2017, and we still got great relationships with some of those guys.
And who was the coach?
Ed Zahnbrecher. He, matter of fact, he came to my senior year. We had our football banquet, and that was his first year at NLU, and he was our keynote speaker at my senior banquet in high school. And so he stayed at ULM from 93 until I think they wind up, I think they fired him in 98. So he was there, you know, about 5 years. And that's a whole nother story, my opinion on how that worked. I think if they'd have gave him at least another 2 or 3 years, some things were turning around.
So he was at Florida after?
Yes.
Before. So he went to Illinois.
Yeah, and he went to Florida. He went to Florida as the OC after he left NLU.
All right. And then was it Illinois before or after? I can't remember.
Before.
Okay, so yeah. Illinois before, and then head coach at NLU. And
yes.
Then OC at Florida. Okay.
Yeah. Yep.
So like most of those guys, they land on their feet.
Oh yeah.
They've got connections. So, you know, we had when we had Troy Edwards on for our What's Up segment, I remember you talking, and that's the first time it hit me that you were playing there during that time.
Yeah.
So you got to play those 2 years that
97 and 98
renewed that.
And that was a great time for a lot of us here. you know, in the Twin Cities, because the experience to be able to, it was the energy. I mean, I get chills even thinking about it now, because I mean, once they said we're going to play Tech, all the old school people come out of the woodworks. Mm-hmm. You know, all of the alumni, people who used to play during the time it was the Rec Tech and that whole deal. Everybody come back out, and that was just a feel good vibe in Monroe.
Why don't we do it now?
I have no clue. I mean, I don't. And if, who's ever listening? I mean, if there's any, well, I don't know exactly what needs to be done, but we did it in '97 and in '98, and it's just like, here it is, 2017, and then almost 20 years, and it's, nobody's talking about it as far as something that can be put on paper. But it was a very feel good vibe in Monroe. I mean, everybody felt good about just the energy. Everybody got, we all came together in Monroe. Everybody was feeling good. And like I say, when we went to Tech in '97, it was a real good competitive game. Now, obviously, the next year, I think Troy Edwards had he burnt it pretty bad in at ULM, but it still was the fact that we all had a common thing. Like, look, this is some history, Louisiana Tech, ULM, and for whatever reason, that we don't do it anymore.
Well, there. Let's talk quickly about the pros. The pros of that are you don't spend any money hardly. You don't have to go out of town, get hotels, eat on the road. You get to sleep in your own bed. Both teams sleep in their own bed, eat their own food.
Yeah.
All of that. There's no expense for the fans.
Nope.
To drive a long way for the game.
Nope.
You know, there's the cons. The only con I can think of, I can think of two cons. Somebody's going to lose.
Right.
And neither team wants to be the one that loses.
Yes.
And it did get to a point back in the day where people were doing stupid stuff, you know, vandalism.
Right,
and all that
right,
kind of stuff.
Right.
I don't know.
I mean, and it maybe the powers that be, I don't know if that's what they use to factor in why we won't do it anymore as far as the cost, as far as, I mean, I don't think the vandalism, because I know what you're talking about. Yes. I mean, we would, but I don't think it was nowhere compared to the feel good spirit, the spirit that was here. I mean, it was a spirit of brotherly. I mean, everybody hugged on each other. I mean, it was just like, we was just so excited. The town was excited. The communities was excited. And that's what Rico talked about, you know, a couple weeks back, is trying to get the community back into, you know, coming to games. And that's how that's how we do it.
Yeah. I mean, baseball's doing it. Basketball's been doing it. I'm sure volleyball does it. Softball does it. I know.
Yeah.
I'm sure soccer does it.
Yeah.
You know, and again, yes, football is a different entity. It's a whole new, it's a horse of a different color, so
yes,
to speak.
Yes.
But my philosophy has always been, if you don't want to be the coach that loses, if it's going to cost you something, don't lose.
Figure out a way to win.
I mean, you know, don't lose.
Figure out a way to win.
Yeah. So let's get to what you're doing now. I want to take a little bit of time for that. Then we'll hit our break before we get Sean Williams on. Just run the play.
Yes.
Tell me, you know, because you weren't at Riser, you were in business for yourself.
Right.
And then a friend talked to you and it changed your life.
Yes. I when I left ULM, you know, opportunity wasn't there to, you know, go into any types of professional plan. And so, you know, with my degree, which I was thankful to have, you know, it was get that paid for. I went into, you know, corporate America for about 7 years. I worked at Chase Home Finance, and then opportunity came to get certified license in insurance. And then when that came, I did it and opened my own business. I had an office. I had one here in West Monroe, and then we moved an office in Monroe on 18th Street, doing, you know, financial services and investments in insurance. But, you know, when you've been a part of athletics as long as I was, and I was coaching my son, he was at the time, you know, 5, 6, 7, 8 years old, I was still feeling like, man, I know it's something. I just still feel like it was more for me to be doing. And, you know, God working mysterious ways. And so when I bumped into Jeremy Manning out at the Little Boys Football Complex, and he was telling me about, you know, man, look, here, there's opportunity in coaching, and, you know, you should do it this way, look at that way. So after a couple of weeks of thinking about it, I decided to just meet with him and just see, well, okay, what do I have to do to become a coach, like in education? And never thought that I'd be a teacher. That was the last thing on my mind, was to be a teacher, but it wound up working itself out. And so in 2011, I made that transition and was an assistant coach at Riser for probably 2 years. And I wasn't even thinking about head coach either. I mean, I was just glad to be doing something that I enjoyed and also being able to get paid to do it. And, you know, and so wasn't thinking head coach, but when your head coach has a heart attack the week before the jamboree, which what happened, it's like, okay, we need you to just fill in for interim this year because Coach McFarland is not coming back to coach because of the severity of the heart attack he had. So 2013 became the interim head coach. And 14, it was made official. And so going into my third year as the head coach at Riser Middle School, which is crazy because that's why I went to school at, and never thought it'd happen like that. And so while doing that, I, you know, wrote a book sort of talking about that transition from corporate to education. And the title of the book was Just Run the Play. And from that title of that book, a lot of people wanted me to come and start speaking about the book at different youth events. And it created this company called Just Run the Play, which we now do inspirational T-shirts. What we do, we go around and speak to the youth. We speak to corporate, corporate businesses just as a motivational inspiration. And that's really what the company is about. It's about inspiring people to be the best that they can be, to be playmakers. If, you know, and that's the short edited version now.
And so basically it's, you know, there's something you can do, go do it. Just go do it.
Yeah, just run the play. I mean it's because everybody got plays that they have. It's all about are you in a position to execute them? Because I don't know anybody that does. I mean, we don't wake up in the morning. I mean, I don't know anybody that wakes up every morning and say, you know what, I think I'm going to be the worst person I can be today. I'm going to be so unproductive today. It's going to be like the best day of my life being as. Nobody wakes up like that. Everybody has something that they want to accomplish, and that's what we are. It's just run the play. We want to just be that company that gives you that energy and that motivation to do what it is that you feel like you need to do.
Awesome. All right, well, DJ, thanks for taking the time to give us a little insight to you there.
Man, I appreciate it, man. I'm just glad to be able to be on the show, man. I mean, you offered me this opportunity, man, and I'm enjoying every bit of it. I promise you, man, I just appreciate you allowing me to be here.
Well, tell the folks how they can follow you and follow Just Run the Play, because there's more to you than just being on the air here.
Right.
So you've got a company, you've got a Facebook page, a website, you got Twitter. Tell us.
You can go to Facebook and just, you know, type in Just Run the Play, and it'll come up Coach DJ Davis. I have a lot of people who even like to follow Riser Middle School football. We got a Facebook page. You can also check me out on Twitter at Just Run the Play, and the website at www.justrunthplay.com. Just to find out a little bit more about some of the things we're doing in the community. And there's a lot of things we're doing in the community because that's where we build leaders in the community. We got to go back into the communities and just create opportunities for people to be leaders, because if we don't create the opportunities, sometimes people don't know how much potential they have until we show them that they have it. So just go check me out, follow me on Twitter, Facebook, and just keep up with what we're doing, man. And all support and prayers are definitely welcome.
All right, we're gonna hit a break now before we get to Sean Williams, but before we do, we want to talk about the voting for Best of the Delta. There's a link on our Facebook page. You can click on that and go through and vote for your best bartender, best restaurant, all that. Two of them we want to focus on. When you look up the fitness instructors, Bonnie Hay. Bonnie is one of our favorites here. She's been on the program. She's a part of our Purple Movement.
Oh, yeah.
Which we need to get back focused on. Very, very prominent in the fight against Alzheimer's and helping to raise Alzheimer's awareness is Bonnie.
Yeah, Bonnie's great.
And so we want you to go out and vote for her. Traps and Trappe, those are definitely great friends of the station, the network. So vote for them. And Two Dudes Catering, best food truck. There's several listed, but there is none other.
Two Dudes.
So appreciate Kevo and Chris for being friends of the program. But vote for them. So two of them we want to point out and give great support to are Bonnie Hay as fitness instructor and Two Dudes Catering as best food truck. We're going to go ahead and hit that break. When we come back, we'll talk to Sean Williams and get a great announcement from him on something coming up. You're listening to Talkin' Sports
on ESPN 97.7.
Welcome back to the program. Talkin' Sports, ESPN 97.7 FM. I'm B.
And this is Deep.
Byron Avery and DJ Davis with you on ESPN 97.7 Talkin' Sports. I want to close out the program with an FOP, friend of the program.
FOP.
Sean Williams from Who Dat Nation, Redemption, and Pro Football Spot. Sean, welcome back to the show.
How are you guys?
Doing great.
Big Sean.
So, Sean, we've had you on here several times. Had you talking about the Saints and other NFL teams and your Who Dat Nation Redemption Facebook page. But I understand you've got something special to announce for the upcoming season.
Yes, sir. You guys have been, like you say, I'm a friend of the program. Well, the feeling is mutual, and I wanted to come on here with you guys because I have a major announcement that I'd like to make. For about the past 2 years now, or the better part of nearly 2 years, I've been working on a project, and it's finally come together well enough that I can tell you. I'm really excited to announce that on Wednesday, July the 20th, that night we will be premiering the Under the Dome podcast. As I said, this is a project that we've worked on for the better part of 2 years now, and I want to thank Fan First Productions and the C3 Network for working with us and partnering with us, and more than anything, creating the opportunity for us to finally get this podcast up and going.
So that's awesome. You're going to have your own podcast called Under the Dome, and what are you going to cover in this podcast? What will be your topics?
All Saints all the time.
Oh, man,
it'll be an hour long weekly show. And for example, our first show is going to be exactly a week before the guys are supposed to be reporting to the Greenbrier for training camp. So we're going to do kind of a primer for the training camp. We're going to go through the entire 90-something man roster, position by position, and look at who we got coming back, who the new people are that's on the roster, and interesting positional battles that'll be taking place during training camp, and, you know, stuff like that.
Oh, absolutely. Well, congratulations, first of all.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
It's a big deal getting a podcast. And who is someone going to be doing it with you?
Yes. As a matter of fact, I'm going to have a co-host. His name is Alan Ulrich. And he's a good friend of mine from several of these Saints Facebook groups and what have you. We had a rough time finding the right person, but I think we did. He's a very, very knowledgeable guy. Has a really a good skill set when it comes to stuff like the contract negotiations and stuff like that. But as far as the game itself, he's very, very knowledgeable. I'm glad to have him aboard with me.
Awesome. And I think you told me that you've got a player interview lined up as well.
Yeah, we've I have a commitment. I don't want to say just who yet. I want to surprise everyone. There's a we're waiting right now to find out if it's going to be this guy on the first show. We're going to have to ascertain whether it's going to be possible for him to do it after he goes to camp or not. But if not, we're going to have him on do a little switching around and have him on the first episode on the 20th.
Well, that's awesome. Well, Sean, I appreciate you coming on to let us know about that. We're very happy to hear that news. And where will people be able to find it?
Okay, we have a, if you have any suggestions, things that you would like to see on the podcast, you can email us at underthedomepodcast, all one word, at gmail.com. We also have a Twitter set up. It's at underthedomepo1, all one word. And Byron, if you wouldn't mind, real quick, I want to, there's a couple of people that have helped me over the course of the past 2 years. Obviously, you and DJ be pretty close to the top of that list, but I want to thank Joey Riolano of Fan First Productions. He's been kind of the point man on this project, and obviously Sean Fox and Nick Harrison and Mark Kramer for everything that they've done to help me and to push me and to inspire me. But first and foremost, I want to thank you, Byron. You helped me a lot, and in more ways than you realize, you had played a really big role in this opportunity being able to be taken advantage of. And I appreciate everything that you've done for us.
Well, I'm very proud for you, Sean, and we love having you on the program. And I just really enjoy what it is you do, and just couldn't be prouder for you, brother.
Oh, yeah, expert. Subject matter expert.
I don't know about that.
Remind everyone how we can keep up with you during the week.
You can follow me on Twitter, at DrewsDad3721. You can go to Facebook on the Who Dat Nation Redemption page, which, as we're getting closer and closer to this premiere date of the July the 20th, which will be a 1 week from this coming Wednesday. But as we get closer, you can follow on the Who Dat Nation page as far as the latest developments and some of the things that we're gonna be promoting and getting to on the show. Until we get the individual page set up for that, I'll be putting the details on Who Dat Nation Redemption regularly.
Awesome.
And also on the forums of ProFootballSpot.com.
Okay. Well, Sean, thanks again for coming on. Excited about your announcement. Very proud for you. Very proud of you. Have a good rest of your weekend, buddy.
Thank you guys so much, and thank you for letting me make my big announcement on you guys' show. You guys are like family.
Absolutely.
Ditto, man. Appreciate you.
All right. Well, have a good weekend, brother.
You too. Thank you, guys.
So Sean Williams announced it on our show that he's going to have a podcast, a weekly podcast.
Under the Dome.
All Saints, all the time, Under the Dome. So good for him.
Oh, yeah, man. That's a big move.
That's a big move for him. He's done a lot of good things to, you know, he's gone through a lot fighting cancer.
Oh, yeah.
And this has been real cathartic for him doing all that. So good for him. Let's circle back real quick. I went to the link that we have on our Facebook page to go and vote for Best of the Delta. And Bonnie is the number five category where it says Best Personal Trainer. I had said fitness instructor, but Best Personal Trainer. There are several names on there. I believe there's five names, but only one matters, and that's Bonnie Farmer Hay. Friend of the program, out in front in the fight against Alzheimer's. Great fitness instructor, personal trainer. She's got several things going. The Fitbit team, she does pro rodeo stuff.
Yeah.
And like I said, on the forefront in the fight against Alzheimer's. So vote for her there. And in the best food truck, Two Dudes Catering.
Two Dudes.
Doesn't get any better than that. DJ, thanks for sharing the insight on yourself today. We want to encourage people to go to justruntheplay.com. See all that. Last week we had Becca Wales on the program. She's throws javelins. She threw it at West Ridge and at West Monroe, and she's on the LSU track and field team. She's an All-American, All-SEC champion. She was at the Olympic trials, did not make the finals, but sent her out a congratulations. And if you see her in town, pat her on the back. She had a great season.
She did.
She's had a great time at LSU so far. She's not through, but she didn't make the Olympics, but that's okay. That's okay. She's a great person, had a heck of a season. So if you see her or her dad, because Andy's right there with her every step of the way, tell him congratulations. Out of all the people we've had on the show, she's the only one that's made it to the Olympic trial. So, you know, that says a lot.
Yeah, it does.
And out of all the friends I have, DJ, you're definitely one of them.
So. Hey, man, I appreciate it, man. Look, you matter because I matter.
There you go. But that's going to be it for today. Want to thank John Tabor.
Tabor.
Back at the headquarters for keeping us between the white lines. Thanks to West Monroe's soccer coach, Roger Whitlock, for coming on. Donnie Altman, Big 12 official, and someone who helps out because his son plays soccer for West Monroe. We're going to try to be out at the softball tournament fundraiser.
Yeah, I think we can work that out.
And the wiffle ball, because I want to see. I may have to get out there and take a couple swings and
embarrass myself. Oh, snap.
Brett Hudson of the New Star for coming on, talking about their countdown to high school football. And there's a lot more into that than I realized, not just the number of days, but each day, like today's day 55. 55 days left until high school football.
But
the 55 has a meaning, so a lot of hard work in going into that.
I was listening to that, man. That's some crazy research in time.
Yeah, and then Sean Williams for making his big announcement. Go out there. Go to our Facebook page, facebook.com/tsports977fm, and click on the link to vote for Best of the Delta. Don't forget Bonnie Farmer Hay and Two Dudes Catering. You know what I did forget? The big thing today, I was supposed to do the show nude.
I'm glad you forgot that. Thank you, God, that he forgot to do the show nude. Hey, shout out too, man, real quick to Riza alum, West Monroe alum, Louisiana Tech currently, Xavier Woods.
Absolutely.
Bronco Nagurski, candidate, watch list for this year. Shout out, man.
All right. And then some assistant principal wanted his name mentioned.
Oh, yeah. Greg Cole out of Ruston, Louisiana. I'm giving you a shout out. One of my coworkers and a Louisiana Tech, man, he's a fanatic. So I'm shouting you out, Coach. Gregory Cole.
Greg Cole. Appreciate you listening to the program. And if DJ says you're okay, then you must be okay. Thanks for listening. Go to our Facebook page. Like us. Follow us on Twitter at tsports977fm. Call us to find out or reach out to us on the
Pulpwood.
Well, I was trying to find the Facebook. I mean the email. That's
the Riverport Creative Group email
inbox.
tsports977fm@gmail.com.
And let us know if you're interested in using our show as a fundraiser. We'll tell you how.
Oh yeah.
I want to thank all of our broadcast partners. Greg Phillips State Farm, like a good neighbor, Greg Phillips is there. Car King, Pulpwood Producers, Jeremy Hilton, Shield of Shelter Insurance in West Monroe, Riverport Creative Group, Assurance Financial, Glassworks of West Monroe, DBAT, for all your baseball and softball training needs, dbatmonroe.com, Gina Eubanks, Allstate Insurance in Ruston and Minden, Gina Eubanks, agency owner since 1995. And that's it.
Great show. Great show. A lot of information today. I'm excited.
All right. So you were supposed to be at a clinic in Baton Rouge this weekend, but that's been moved to the 28th.
Yeah, to the end of the 30th, Saturday. Yeah, it's going to be that 30th, July 30th, the Gridiron Heroes and the Only Way coaching clinic for, you know, heads up tackling.
All right. Well, join us next week. We'll be right here.
Sure will.
Same bat station, same bat time.
With the same bat utility bill.
That's right. We're talking sports on ESPN 97.7 FM. Good day.
Thanks for listening to the best of Talking Sports with Byron. To listen to the show live, tune in every Saturday to ESPN977.com. Or subscribe to the show in iTunes, on Stitcher, or at RedPeachSports.com.